Good morning on a Monday morning. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, Jeremy Otto on the updates this morning. John, good morning.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
How was your weekend?
Good. Had a good weekend. Went to Tiger game on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, battled the traffic and the fans and all the excitement.
40,000 plus every day this weekend for the Tigers. Friday night crowd was talking like it was a playoff atmosphere.
I didn't get a chance to see it on TV. I was listening because we were out and about, bunch of baseball, softball this weekend. And so I was listening all weekend long. And I've got to imagine the TV broadcast, it came through, because it certainly came through the radio broadcast, how exciting that environment was down there.
Two best teams, potential World Series preview, best on best.
It was fun, and obviously disappointed what happened on Saturday. Kind of felt like they laid an egg, but two out of three, we'll take it. They won another series.
Here's the Cubs are a good team. It's okay if they win one of those games, and they displayed the power, right? They're the best offense in baseball, but I think what my headline is, Friday they held them to, what, the one run? And then Jack Flaherty and company shut the best offense in baseball out in a pivotal series deciding game yesterday. That was awesome.
It was, and it really feels like, I mean, we know what Skubal is, right? And what he continues to do, especially with the strikeout to walk ratio, it's bordering on historic. It's already historic, but it's bordering on best of all time.
It feels made up.
And then you follow it with Jack Flaherty, who had a, you know, there was a rough patch for a couple of games. No.
Oh, I'm talking about
in throughout the season. And now all of a sudden it feels like as we approach the trade deadline, which is still 6 weeks away, but the closer we get, we talk, and we did this on Friday, right? What are some of the concerns? And we nitpick. One of the things that it's going to be really hard to nitpick is you got two starters who you feel can go into a seven-game series and come away with two wins. Now it's a matter of who's three, who's four, who's healthy at the time. But those two guys are pitching as good as any duo across Major League Baseball.
No, it's significant because we've had the discussion, who's the number two? Do they have a number two? It was Mize. Mize is hurt and Joe's hurt and Mize is back now but hasn't settled in. And in the meantime, Rhys Olson's still injured. What Flaherty's done over the last four starts now, pitched at least six innings, limited the damage, high strikeout guy, looking like that number two. We'll get to that and some other takeaways, but a statement series for the Tigers over the weekend. They just keep winning. The moment that doubt creeps in a little bit, oh, they split with the White Sox. They take the Cubs 2 of 3.
And a much-needed day off today.
Yeah.
So they could have gone as far as they wanted into the bullpen yesterday. Didn't really need to.
Well, AJ said after the game, he's like, hey, it was great. I knew I had Canley and Vest, and I knew with the off day that I could be aggressive with them.
So now all of a sudden, hey, they get a travel day, get to Baltimore, three games away, and then they come home for six more. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. It's setting up to be a fun stretch.
Did you watch any of the NBA, NHL over the weekend?
I peeked in a little bit at the NBA finals, and it was simply because Lucy was down in Indiana for game one, and she was in a local pub watching it with some friends, and just said that the atmosphere was bonkers. This is why I need more from your brother.
I know.
I need more of a boots
down
on the ground. And so I watched a little bit last night just because I wanted to be able to talk to her about it. Not that intrigued, because I do think Oklahoma City is the better team. I think they'll eventually win. And I don't know that it goes to, maybe it goes to six because Indiana took game one. Who knows? But the Stanley Cup final is bonkers. If you haven't watched, if you haven't paid attention, don't miss great hockey, exciting hockey. Game one, Edmonton takes in OT. Game two, Florida takes in double OT. It has been off the wall.
Both games have been incredible. Either team could have won either game. You get the drama of overtime playoff hockey in both games. The biggest names have stepped up. Like Connor McDavid's assist in game two. They didn't win the game, but his assist to set up Draisaitl, where he's weaving through like three people like they're like cones on ice.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And Brad Marchand, but he hates him. But here he is, shorthanded goal and then the breakaway game-winning goal. It's all the big names delivering. It's everything you could ask of a championship. And I don't know who's going to win. To your point about in the NBA, we kind of think, hey, Oklahoma City's going to wrestle this thing back.
It just feels like they're the better team.
They are. in the NHL. I think the Panthers are going to win. I don't know. I kind of like that McDavid and the Oilers are a worthy challenger and are every bit as good.
They evened up the series, and now they're going back to Florida, game three tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of one of those, don't miss it, because this could be one of the all-time great Stanley Cup final series.
Yeah, I think last year set the stage going seven. Both teams are better. And Edmondson's talked about how their mentality is so much more settled in. And Florida added Brad Marchand and Seth Jones at the deadline.
And it's another reason why I'm glad the Tigers are on a night off. Because I don't feel conflicted of watching one of our great local teams that's still best record in Major League Baseball. And now I get a chance to just sit down, relax, and enjoy some good hockey tonight.
It should be. It should be really good hockey. It's been really good hockey. It's the perfect way to finish out their season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is going on this weekend, Heather? How was your weekend?
You know, it was all right.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was a good weekend. We had a graduation party, which was fun. It's different going with kids. You don't really get a chance to do a whole lot of mingling and chatting because you got to have eyes on the little one, especially. Emily is 3.5. She can handle herself a little bit more. The one-year-old is like a little bowling ball, right? Well, you give him this big open space. It was in a backyard, right? And it's just like, I want to go over here. I want to run over here. Oh, can I lift this cooler up? What's in here? Like, it's just, so that was fun.
It's graduation season and party season. I was at one yesterday, and at 6:18, I ran into someone that knew Jim Costa, let's just say, even though he's 30, back in the day.
Oh. Intriguing. Okay.
And this is an individual. It's I don't want to give away too much because there is a little bit of suspense here. This individual I have known, and they've been holding on to a secret that I had no idea.
So, truthfully, I don't know where this is going to go. I have no idea who this person is.
I texted these guys last night after I left the party, and I said, I got something. I got something.
Got some dirt.
Uh-huh.
Boy, mutual person we both know. I'm assuming it's involved with football some way, high school football. I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. 248-539-9797. A lot to talk about on the show today, including a topic from graduation parties. We'll get to that later in the show. We're going to focus a lot on the Tigers, who made a statement with their wins over the weekend, the statement that they made. Give you guys a chance to weigh in on that all morning long. And at some point, it's a conversation that we have to have about the future of college sports. This landmark decision that's going to change the way schools pay players. I don't know what this looks like a year from now. I don't know what it looks like 5 years from now, but that's the place we want you to put yourself, is where you're going to be with your passion for college sports.
Yeah, and just getting back to the Tigers for a minute. It's when you look at what we saw from Kerry Carpenter yesterday, the middle of that lineup, which is supposed to be the meat of the lineup, right? You got Kerry Carpenter going 3-for-4, Riley Green 2-for-4, Spencer Torkelson, and we had the questions, right? Is he only hitting for power anymore? But we saw over the weekend, it was a good weekend for him.
Yeah.
You know, double scoring some runs, and again, 2-for-4. That is exactly what you want from the meat of your lineup.
Kerry Carpenter, the bat, obviously always there. Defense, robbing a homer on Friday, and then
how about the throw from Kerry Carpenter?
The throw from right field, gotta have it at the plate.
Darts.
Yeah, he was big time. What was our joke for a long time? Could we get Torque and Green going at the
same time? Yeah.
Sunday, they both drive in a pair of runs. And I looked this up. It took a little chicken scratch on a piece of paper to check the dates. When they both drive in a run, Tigers are 9-1 this season. Stands to reason. When those two guys show up, the team wins.
Sure. And they sure showed up. But it was really, it felt like it was all weekend long. And a little disappointed about the energy I felt from the team on Saturday.
Too many quick at-bats.
Yeah, they weren't working the count. And, okay, again, it's 1-162. It's one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. They won the series. But you could tell when the Tigers struggle in a game, you try and look and see why. Once it's pitching, right? They can't seem to bullpen days. It's not like it was last year. And that's how you know, last year was unique, historic, special. Special because that just doesn't happen. They've tried to have that same formula this year at times, and it hasn't worked the same way. And it feels so disappointing because we don't have that same magic. But on the flip side, you actually do have starting pitching, and it's the bats. When they work a pitcher over, and it doesn't have to end up in a hit or a walk every single time, but when it's 6, 7, 8 or more pitches per at bat,
you wear them out.
You wear them out, and that's where the Tigers eventually get to the pitchers. They get to the bullpen, and then they do their damage.
It felt like they let Tyon off the hook a little bit on Saturday. Let's get to the phones. Mike, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good morning. What's up?
Hey, just wanted to call in and comment on Friday's Tiger game. The atmosphere was great. I was at the 2012 World Series. I was at game 4. I haven't seen Comerica that loud, that excited for anything pretty much since that game. I'd probably say I go to maybe 3 or 4 games a year.
And it was, the place was just bonkers, right?
The place was insane. And then when you had Jemai Jones come up at the end there, you hear some people behind me like, oh, who's this guy? Who's this guy? You know, then he goes yard, and you're like, that's who that guy is, apparently.
Yeah, felt like another right button by AJ.
Of course.
The wizard.
Midas touch over here. Everything turns to gold. Friday night, the stage was set. It was Scooble. It's a night game where everybody's getting out to the ballpark. It had all the makings, and it delivered, right? Home team wins. Tone set. Everybody feeling good. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there. I was at a couple of the playoff games.
Yeah.
This last year. I imagine it rivaled it because the stage was set. It was Scooble. It was at night. It was the Cubs. It was supposed to feel like a playoff game.
Yeah, and trust me, if you were there Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and you want to share your experience, mm-hmm. we would love to hear it because I listened on the radio. Jim was there once. You saw it on TV a little bit more than I did. And everything says that there is genuine excitement about this team. We talked on Friday about the increased attendance.
Yep.
As we led into the weekend, thinking that it was going to be right around 120,000 people visit the ballpark this weekend, which it nailed it, is the interest in this team. You build it and they will come. And this team is winning and people are showing up to be excited and have baseball to watch midsummer.
We're tapping into it all morning. 248-539-9797. Coming up next, don't make me wait any longer. What is this story from my past? It's 97.1.
Hey, it's Heather. And if you're like me, you like knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your phone bill. Well, Verizon's got some big news for your peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with my plan. So if you're thinking about making the switch to Verizon, this is for you. You can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's Verizon's best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. And again, that price is locked in for 3 whole years. Because at Verizon, they've got your back now and in the future. So go ahead, take one thing off your worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit and ask about their 3-year price guarantee today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Perfect awesome. Throw.
Awesome.
Gary Carpenter.
Perfect throw. Great tag.
Yep.
Not blocking home plate.
Nope.
I mean, everything was done right.
You look at the review, it just got him.
Mm-hmm.
Tigers get out of that inning without giving up a single run. Flaherty, 3 walks and a single. They don't score. And he pitches 6 innings of shutout baseball against the best offense in Major League Baseball. Tigers take 2 of 3. Statement win over the weekend for them. If you were at the ballpark, the statement that the fans made, statement that the team made, 248-539-9797. We'll dive deeper into that coming up at 6:35. John, I am dying to know who from my past we have in common that was sharing some kind of secret.
So I was at a grad party yesterday, and we lived in a house in Ann Arbor, and it's kind of fun because all of the housemates ended up showing up yesterday. We all live in the area. We've all gone away, all kind of come back, congregated. Some guys stayed here. And so the one of the fun stories is, and I'll just give you the names and see if you could pick out a name.
I think let's see where this goes.
Eddie Magnus.
No.
Don't know him.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Colby Kiefer.
No.
Don't know him. Dave Crispin.
Yep.
Better known to you.
Coach Crispin.
As Coach Crispin.
That's right.
And had no idea that he was holding on to this secret. We don't see each other quite a bit, but we text each other here and there. And same thing with all the guys, right? We've stayed in touch. We know our kids. The fun story about the kids is three of the four of us will have freshmen in Ann Arbor next year. Mm-hmm. So we're hopefully by the end of the summer, we're going to get everybody together and kind of have a little, housemates party, but also introduce all of the kids because they know of each other but don't really know each other. So having some people on campus might, provide something nice. But then Dave said, Coach Crispin, as you know him, said, I've been waiting to see you in person because I have something to share. I said, what is that? He goes, your new radio host? I said, yeah. It's relatively new, right? It's been a little bit over a year.
Sure.
He said, I coached him in high school. I was his JV coach. I said, I perked up a little bit here.
We had a good JV squad.
Let me know about this. And what I didn't know was the success of your school at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And since he was the JV coach, and I said, well, what can you tell me about the young, plump, Jim Costa? Because all he tells us now is about how big he was in high school, how dominant he was as an offensive lineman in high school. But then he travels to the west side of the state, and he loses all this weight. He comes back, and nobody can believe that he was an offensive lineman. So please let me know. And he said, well, I don't know. It was a long time ago. It's a little nondescript. I don't really remember a lot about Jim Costa. I was so disappointed. I thought I had the secret. I had the connection of the century.
The gold mine.
Uh-huh.
You just have story after story after story. Yeah, I think we went 7-2, that JV team.
Okay.
It didn't turn into anything when we became seniors. We didn't make the playoffs our senior season.
Right, but the years before that.
But leading up, we had a lot of anticipation and momentum.
Right, because, I think he said one year you guys were like a 10-1 or 10-2, 11-1.
Our freshman and JV crop, we were on the way. And
no, the varsity was that. And then you got there.
Oh, here we go. He's pinning it on me. Yeah, Livonia Churchill made the playoffs. Yeah, like 07. I graduated in 11. And they came back up, though.
So you're not supposed to get with that tidbit.
We were the dead weight, is what you're
saying. Couldn't run the ball?
No, we ran a lot of inside zone. We leaned on our O-line. Our defense was terrible at the time. We were playing a lot of shootouts.
He thought you might say that. Yeah, he said you're kind of one of those guys that would point the other side of the ball.
I'm just saying. We played Livonia Franklin my senior year, and we didn't get stopped the whole game and lost. Explain that one to me.
You should have played both ways.
I should have.
Did you ever play defense?
Like 7th, 8th grade I did, but high school on I was an offensive lineman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The better side of the ball,
John. O-lineman at heart.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's the secret I found out yesterday. Not a lot of dirt involved, but I was hopeful.
Good. Glad he kept my name clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Other than they won until you became a varsity player. And then you just provided the fact that after you left, they won again. Not a ring
to Heather with the news.
Yes.
John, there's a reason I didn't play beyond high school.
Yeah.
You may have seen this in the news. Tensions in LA escalated on Sunday. Why are you laughing, John?
I saw a comment on Twitch. I thought Costa was homeschooled.
Oh,
that's
well,
why he doesn't know where anything is.
Uh-huh. That would make sense. It would seem that way, wouldn't it?
Thank you, Twitchers.
Anyway,
sorry.
Let's get back to this more serious story. Tensions in LA escalated Sunday as thousands of protesters took to the streets in response to President Trump's deployment of the National Guard. So protesters have blocked off a major freeway, set cars on fire, destruction of buildings, right? As law enforcement used tear gas, rubber bullets, flashbangs to control the crowd. As the evening rolled around last night, many protesters did kind of disperse. But police did declare an unlawful assembly. Sunday was the third and most intense day of demonstrations against Trump's immigration crackdown. The National Guard was deployed specifically to protect federal buildings, including the downtown detention center where protesters really kind of concentrated. Dozens of people have been arrested throughout the weekend.
Look, it's a story that's going to get super politicized. I would just say this. They got to get on the same page, Trump and Newsom. And I get it. They're in opposite parties and they have opposite goals here. But this cannot escalate the way it's escalating. It's not good for anybody.
So there's been another measles exposure, this time at a medical office building in Rochester Hills. So officials say anyone who visited the building, which is right at the corner of Rochester Road and South Boulevard on Tuesday, June 3rd, anytime between 8:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m., basically all day, may have been exposed. Now, I know this medical building well. I used to frequent it quite often. There's lots of businesses in it, right? Like, it's not just one doctor's office, but there's a cancer treatment center, which those are people who have weakened immune systems, right? There's also like a med spa. There's an IVF clinic. There's a whole bunch of things in there. And one of the owners of one of the buildings or offices says that hundreds of people go in and out of this building each day. So there was a lot of people that could have been exposed. Obviously, you should monitor yourself. They say through June 24th. So be on the lookout for that.
Okay.
So, a Monroe man who was just late for his flight has been arrested for calling in that bomb threat that caused that evacuation of a Spirit Airlines plane at Detroit Metro Airport.
This absolutely shocks me that that's the reason. Yeah, like, I'm going to be late for my flight, so I'm going to phone in a bomb threat. It'll delay the flight, and I'll make it.
Yeah, that was the goal of this 23-year-old John Robinson. He was charged with reporting a fake bomb threat, and apparently he missed his flight, was told at the gate he would need to rebook, and he thought, I don't got time for that. I need to be on this flight. So instead, he allegedly called into Spirit Airlines, said he had information that somebody was going to try to blow up the airport and blow up the flight.
Oh, the whole thing.
Yeah. He said, like, walked him through that. They're going to bring this bomb through TSA. All of it. He had a whole story. Well, obviously, wasn't true. They pulled that plane aside. They searched it with the bomb-sniffing dogs, FBI agents. Everyone had to deplane. Rebook themselves, basically. I mean, they didn't have to rebook. They got him on other flights, but all because he missed his flight.
Well, he's going to be missing a lot of flights moving forward.
He sure is. Yeah. So he was in federal court in Detroit Friday. He was released on bond. He's going to return to court June 27th for a preliminary examination. Finally, hey, school's out for most of Michigan. I was going to say Michiganders and Michigan, and then it, whatever. School's out for summer. So
almost.
Well, for most.
Public schools.
For most. Yeah. Not all. But Belle Isle is ready to celebrate.
Oh, yeah?
With the giant slide.
Oh, yeah. Here
we go. Giant slide is open. So visitors that are taller than 4 feet can go take a ride on the big slide.
Get your helmets ready.
Yeah, seriously. And your back brace. And
elbow,
like,
pads.
Yeah,
knee pads.
Uh-huh. Anytime between 12:30 to 5:30 p.m. on Fridays, 10:30 to 3:30 on Saturdays and Sundays. Should be fun. I do have one more little thing to report. We have some sad news to share this morning about the passing of longtime WWJ reporter and anchor Mike Campbell. He was a voice you heard on WWJ for more than three decades. Mike was 65 years old. He had just celebrated his birthday at the end of May. Mike covered the streets of Detroit and also anchored on Saturday mornings. And he loved to talk about his family and his passion for boating, spending time outdoors, traveling around the state. He had a special fondness for the Upper Peninsula in Marquette. That's where he attended college. And he leaves behind his wife, Terry, their children, his mother, and many friends.
This is shocking. Because we would see him in the morning when he was getting ready to go out for a new story, warming up the company vehicle. Hey, Mike, how you doing? And it's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Tigers. What statement did the team and the fans make against the Cubs? It's 97.1. Statement weekend for the Tigers. Take two or three against the Cubs. One Friday night in a playoff atmosphere. One Sunday, shutting out the best offense in baseball. That's making a statement. What statement did the team and the fans make to you? 248-539-9797. My big statement is Jack is back. Jack Flaherty is back as the number two pitcher on this team. You can look around and say, Mize is healthy, but he's not quite pitching the way he was early in the year. And Jobe is hurt. And Olsen is still hurt. And Cobb may never pitch. Jack is back solidifying the number two spot. 9 strikeouts, 0 runs. That's the Jack we've been looking for. And it's not one start now. It's 4 straight quality starts with an ERA 1.45 in that time. Jack is back. This team's pitching staff's getting deeper.
It is. And I mean, the statement that they've made all season long, and I just, it seems so real now because they're so far into the season. We're not sitting here talking about, well, wait till they get to 50 games, wait till they get to 60. They still have the best record in Major League Baseball. And you see other teams go on runs. Like there was a little while where, okay, the Twins started off cold and then they heated up like 13 in a row. No one is as consistent as the Detroit Tigers. And I think, obviously, the Dodgers. They're a much better team. They have more talent. But even they haven't been as consistent as the Detroit Tigers. We were all kind of, you know, it was a wah-wah-wah after they was 2-2 against the Chicago White Sox, right? That was a series where you kind of thought, oh, well, maybe they don't sweep them, but they at least win it 3-1.
Yeah.
Coming off of that, you're like, well, is water finding its level? Did we just come out smoking hot and now it's going to be kind of, a 500 ball from here on out? No. They took on one of the highest scoring offenses in all of baseball.
Number one.
And they allowed one run in the first game, and in the last game, 0 runs. And even in the middle, right, they average almost 6 runs a game.
Mm-hmm.
They hit that in game 2. But this is just a team where, and you don't know who it is on a daily basis. That's what I love, and that's what's so exciting about this team is all of a sudden Spencer Torkelson rips a double or he hits a home run, which he hasn't done, and it hasn't been a great May. Now all of a sudden, he's back on the list. Riley Green has been very consistent, other than the stretch he had at the beginning of the year. But Kerry Carpenter, and then Kerry Carpenter in the field. Javi Baez. Like, everybody picks and chooses, oh, today's a Carp day. Today's a Baez day. Today's a Torque day. Today's a Green day. Like, I laugh, too, as soon as I say Green day. It just is pick your tiger,
yeah,
and then you could go back on the list and say, well, they don't do it every single day, but they do it when they need it most.
As a collective, consistent. They're the most consistent team in baseball. They got the best record in baseball. How about this for a statement? They caught the Lions in this town. I view it like this. They're only now defined by postseason success. The crowds are rabid. People have bought in, and they're only defined by postseason success. Everybody knows this is a damn good baseball team. Everybody knows the Lions have a damn good football team. The only satisfying conclusion to the Lions is postseason success. We're reaching that point now with the Tigers. I'd argue plant the flag, we're there. Crowds, juice. John, I mean, even if they lose a couple series coming up here, you feel like this team is just going to be judged on what they do in the postseason.
And I kind of am in the place where I almost feel like I need to hold myself back a little bit.
Okay.
Because, and maybe that the White Sox series did it for me, where you thought they're going into that one and should come away, like I mentioned, 3-1 or 4-0. Because there's a stretch here where they play at Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Tampa, the Oakland, or whatever city they're on, at the Athletics, until they get to the Twins, where every one of those series I expect them to win, if not sweep. They're teams that aren't playing well.
But does this sound familiar? Remember the Lions last year? We go, doesn't matter. Someone's going to step up. Pinch yourself every Monday. They won 15 games last year. It just felt like you expected them to beat everybody they played. Indoor, outdoor, injury, right. Offense, defense. You throw 5 interceptions on Sunday Night Football. You still win the game. Isn't that a little bit of what we've seen with this Tigers team? Where, hey, I know Vierling's hurt, but it doesn't matter because Javi Baez is resurgent. Hey, I know Casey Mize is good. Now he's hurt. Well, Jack Flaherty, he stepped back up. There is a parallel between our football and baseball teams.
Yeah, but I think I'm not a moral victory or glad they lost individual. Like, I'll never be that way.
Yeah.
But when you lose, you don't have a chance to gloss over some deficiencies. And losing to the Sox, it kind of highlighted a couple of deficiencies. Losing a game to Kansas City, going back to that Cleveland series, losing that series, it doesn't allow you to gloss over. And when you only have 17 games and you win some, you know, you win 15, it's not a shot at Dan Campbell or the coaching staff, because I think they did a nice job of addressing some of their deficiencies. Hell, they were down 13 different people on defense. They had deficiencies. But you gloss over, it's human nature to gloss some of those over. And I don't know that the Tigers have had that opportunity to gloss over, whether it's the bullpen, whether it's starting pitching, or it's a lack of being able to hit the other team's ace. Like, all of those things have been highlighted. We've talked about them. And A.J. Hinch is 100% knows about those and is addressing them in the moment. The one that really cares, that we care about addressing them, is Scott Harris.
So my opinion is they've struggled hitting, or they've been inconsistent in the last, 20 games roughly.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Moneyball does, though. The fact is they're still above 500 during that time, even though it smells a little, right? I mean, mm-hmm. For me, look, we did the topic on Friday. Torkelson was becoming a concern for me. And he had a great weekend. He went 5-for-12. He had 2 extra base hits. He had 3 RBI. Only 1 strikeout, which is maybe the favorite of those stats for me. So quality ABs. And they need him and Green and Carpenter to carry this thing a little. But the other guys are, like, Baez is down a little bit. Like, is that just going to continue to snowball? I mean, this is a guy that had an OPS around 500 last year or whatever. So, you know, I think the thing you said there, Jim, was pretty bold about they're at the same level as the Lions. They've caught the Lions.
In terms of fan buy-in, in terms of how we view the team.
Fan expectation.
And how we view the team. Where it is, it's all about the playoffs for this baseball team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you just beat the number one, the team that would have been the best team in baseball if the Cubs had come in here and won. They held off the number two team in baseball. They cemented themselves currently as the number one team in baseball. But then you remind yourself, it's June, and the only thing that's going to matter is, are you the number one team in baseball in November?
Mm-hmm.
And when they've played their worst stretch, they're still haven't lost any ground in the division. In fact, they've gained. So, look, I don't. We're gonna sit on this, and maybe we'll do it in a few days.
Okay,
2-4. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. But I want to just say this. And I want you to get thinking.
Yeah.
Then make a move. Who's gonna make a move first? Brad Holmes or Scott Harris? Who's gonna freaking go for it? Because this team will not win a World Series as constructed. They won't. There's too many deficiencies.
I was walking out of the ballpark yesterday, and he was tied up in a conversation, but I did see Scott Harris, and I was tempted to pass him a note that just said, Bregman. 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 Just 3 times.
Only you would. Only you would.
He'd look at me like
seriously? My goodness.
Anyway, 248-539-9797. Some of your statements from over the weekend. Texter says, it was embarrassing how many Cubs fans were at Comerica this weekend. Either we haven't realized how good our team is, or we're a bad baseball town.
That's not my takeaway at all. My takeaway is when you win, like, we have one of the greatest fan bases in Major League Baseball. They're going to show up. But you know else who has a great fan base? Whether you want to admit it or not, the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, yeah. They travel. They got a great fan base.
It's not that far away.
Look, they never Cubs fans there, but let's not act like they took over the ballpark. That wasn't my view on Sunday. I didn't see some 60% Cubs fans avalanche our ballpark.
Right.
Yeah, you saw a hat here or there and a jersey here or there. Didn't bother me. Texter says, basically, it's been 500 ball the last 20 games. Inconsistent offensive output. The pitching, like everyone predicted, is what's carrying them. That's the statement from the weekend. Scooble and Flaherty doing the job. That's your one and your two.
Yeah. I mean, when you only allow one, a half a run between the two games, your odds of winning those are really good.
It's a pretty good recipe. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your only call should be to an experienced law firm, and it should be to Abraham and Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury. So whether it's jammed up because of personal income tax or business payroll taxes, you're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not a tax organization with a random individual you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today, or you can call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
Yeah, Flaherty did benefit from a favorable strike zone. And the umps had a quick trigger, both on Horner and Craig Counsell. See ya. And see ya, Cubs.
They were chirping all weekend.
Yeah, they were. Counsell was angling to get tossed on Saturday.
Yeah.
Tigers take 2-3 against the Cubs. We've got that conversation in the mix. 248-539-9797. The statement that the fans made, packed ballpark. The statement the team made, taking 2-3. Texter says, Flaherty's getting hot right now. He's finally pitching well. Do we dare trade him at the deadline?
No. Okay, so we need to flip our thinking from what it's been for the past decade. I know it's hard to get there, but no, this will not be a team that is selling at the deadline.
No.
We want all good players to stay and possibly add more good players.
This Tiger team feels like the 23 Lions that lost the NFC title. We learned that this could be our best chance because the elephant in the room is the Skubal contract. Make the move, make you confident you can win a World Series. Texter says they put the graphic on Apple TV on Friday. We are the fourth youngest team in baseball. I forget the other three, but none of them were very good. I think that's why this is so fun. We're good now, and we're going to be good for years in the future. This rocks, eat 'em up Tigers. Very different perspective.
Yeah.
And what else we got here? Moneyball does not win. All caps.
Well, is that Moneyball won't win in the postseason?
I think that's what Tex is referring to, yeah. Because the A's would have some great regular seasons. And the Rays have had some great regular seasons.
The matchups dry out when you start facing better pitching. You can't quite squeeze that as much, usually. Moneyball, the whole thing behind it is you're masking something or your payroll's lower. Now you can make a move though that fits Moneyball, like a guy with an expiring contract. See, that's where the difference between the Lions and where the Tigers are at for me is that baseball's a sport where you add at the deadline. The trade deadline's not as big of a deal in the NFL, and contracts are more complicated. There are numerous candidates that fit the exact profile that the Tigers need at
rentals,
the
bats, right-handers, infielders,
and it doesn't
yes.
screw up next year's payroll that much.
Correct, and you shouldn't be mortgaging the future for those guys so they can still keep their yeah. gem farm system.
I mean, it's sitting there.
Yeah, Greg, you had a comment about Moneyball. Seemed like something touched a nerve.
The objective of Moneyball is to maximize the efficiency of your payroll.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I've obviously great goals are win the World Series. That's why everybody's doing it, but the A's had to do it.
Yeah.
Because
financial limitations.
Cheap.
Yes. cheap is the better way to put it. Financial limitations would be the spin. But yeah, they have to find a way to squeeze every drop from the orange, and that's why Moneyball was used by so many low payroll teams to overachieve and make the playoffs, but then cream rises in the postseason. So, if you're the Tigers, look to add a bat or two that can make you a better
sure.
roster.
Yeah. Right. A much more difficult lineup to get through.
So, yeah, I mean, the big payroll example of what the A's did was the 2004 Red Sox. They just happened to have one of the great, you know, 3-4 combo hitters in baseball.
Yeah,
at the time.
Manny Ramirez, Ever. David Ortiz,
yeah,
boppers.
And one more thing the A's did, famously, when the Tigers got David Price, well, they set the market by getting John Lester earlier that morning. They did make moves at the deadline, but Lester was nothing going to be part of their future. So that's what's sitting here. Like, you've got to...
Yeah, that was a Tiger Day game.
Yeah,
I remember that because I was going down to the ballpark. Carson Anderson were at Gay Day, and Austin Jackson was traded mid-game, jogging in from center field in the David Price trade.
But the A's set the market
they did,
earlier that
I remember
morning.
They were talking about it on the way in.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to gear up, keep up with the Joneses. And that's going to happen this year, by the way, not the A's. But teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Cubs and the Padres and the Mets are all going to look to get better. And the Tigers, I expect to be in the mix. And they have the prospects to go and make a move. All right, John, this has been on your radar for a while now.
Yeah. It's the House versus NCAA. And it finally came to a resolution. Like, it was supposed to happen. I believe the date was April 7. where we were supposed to find out if this was going to pass or not. And it was, well, let's kick the can down the road. The can was kicked down the road until this weekend, late Friday news dump, where the judge approves the House settlement. Mm-hmm. And it is now going to allow universities, beginning July 1, they're going to have a pool of $20.5 million. Now, this pool is not going to be given to them. It is something that they have to create on their own. But they will be allowed to spend up to $20.5 million.
Across all sports.
Across all sports. And what has been reported, and what we all believe to be true, is, and they've said Title IX does not play a factor in this.
In other words, you don't have to do $1 for every men's athlete as women's athlete, yes.
So it will most likely be 75%, right around there, spent on the football roster. Another 15% probably spent on the men's basketball roster. That leaves, by math on air, 10% left of that, so about $2 million to be spread around to the rest of the athletic department. And in terms of paying the athletes directly from the university, not a collective, not a booster, this is directly from the university.
It's the end of shamateurism. We're not going to play this game like they are amateurs anymore. They're going to get direct checks from the university.
And this is on top of the scholarship that they're already receiving.
And it may be on top of any NIL opportunities that still come their way, although these have to be more legitimate now, in theory.
Yeah, this is going to be where it's interesting to see how it plays out, because it does set up a clearinghouse. So any NIL deal over a $600 value has to be submitted to a quote-unquote clearinghouse. And they have to approve this NIL deal, which basically means they're going to make sure that it's not just, hey, you get $1 million for just showing up. You're actually going to have to provide a value to whatever entity it is that is paying you.
Yeah, but where it gets kind of murky is someone says, yeah, I'm going to pay John Jansen $1 million to be on this one billboard. Well, that seems like a bad business decision for them, but they're allowed to make bad business decisions. The NCAA can't tell me that I can't pay John Jansen $1 million to be in one billboard ad one time, and now I've gone through the loophole of it's a legitimate business expense,
right?
And I funneled the money to the athlete I wanted to pay anyway, but he's only going to be on that billboard if he's sporting a Michigan jersey. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You can still do these games.
I think what they're trying to prevent is the obvious, where, hey, we're going to give you, we'll just use round numbers, right? $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to go to dinner with me once. Or it's, I need this ball autographed. Well, all right, none of them are to the level of an autograph is worth $1 million.
It's worth what someone's going to pay for it, though.
They're trying to set a market value.
I know. And it's more guardrails are needed. That's all this is going to do is create the need for more governance.
It is. And hopefully, a big hope is that it will lead to some of those guardrails, like actual contracts being signed.
Yeah.
So if you commit to a school, you are actually going to be at that school for 2, 3, 4 years. If that happens, I could see this being a net benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long it takes to get there. It took how long to get to this point?
The deeper we go, the messier it gets. And the idea that it's all going to be cleaned up nice and tidy in the next 2 to 3 years, I don't believe that. Now, you want to ask people a question about the future.
Yeah. Okay. So look in your crystal ball in 5 years, because this all basically started about 5, 6 years ago. And how rapid college sports has changed, it's been on hyperdrive for the past 5 years. Let's look another 5 years down the road. If your interest has waned in college athletics over the last 5 years, what will it be in another 5 years? Is this, can you look in your crystal ball and say, well, I think maybe this does provide some guardrails and it'll be better? Or is it just going to continue to go down this road and we will bring up some concerns that you need to be thinking about?
Yeah, it's a great question. Your passion, you're going to be more invested, less invested? Do you feel like these are guardrails, or is this a runaway train that's going off the tracks? It's 97.1.